inside my head. Before I reached 30, I'd be dead. But somehow on and on I go.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. Text line, you need to be in touch with the program, 251-343-0106. Jerry Carl coming up in about an hour, and then in the 11 o'clock hour from P2 Public Affairs, our Tuesday regular political consultant, Will Hampson, will join us. Joining us now on the line, he's from Russell County. I always appreciate his time, but State Representative Chris Blackshear is on the line with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Happy Tuesday morning to you.
Hey, thank you for coming on. We always appreciate it. How's the off season treating you this go around?
It has been really good, but you know, it's not your ordinary off season with campaign season about to heat back up with everyone that has general elections coming up in November. So getting ready to roll my sleeves up and do dual duty, you know, continue to represent your district and also getting ready to gear up for a campaign here in a couple weeks.
How you feeling? I mean, historically it's a Democrat cycle. It's still Alabama, but a Democrat showed a little bit of flex during the May 19th primary. Is any of that on your radar?
Well, it absolutely is. I think it's his, let's use it both ways. I think it's both sides of the coin. I think you saw some of the Democratic flex. There was a little more vote motivation that you've seen in previous elections from that side to go vote. A little apathetic on the Republican side, in my personal opinion. I think we got to find a way to make sure that, you know, no matter what the election cycle is, that's when you truly have your voice heard. And I hope the Republicans show up to the polls in November to vote.
Well, the reason I want to get you on a few things, and let's kick it off here. The private schools are about to meet. They're talking about their future. There still seems to be, despite the settlement with the legislature and Governor Ivey, a little bit of turmoil in the High School Athletic Association. I assume you're monitoring this. And any thoughts on what's going on there?
Well, first off, well played with kickoff. You know, we're 4 weeks away from football season in high school in the state, so that was a good innuendo there on your behalf. But, I think this week is sports week in Montgomery with the HSAA. They got a meeting coming up next week, the central board. There's still some major decisions, Jeff, that have to be made concerning the split now with the private schools, you know, the single A private classification and the double A classification. As we sit here today, what is it, the 21st of July? They still have no playoff format for the private school classifications. So I think that's the one big thing now. They have brought on board one of the things that Heath Harmon, the executive director of the HSAA, said he was going to do, was going to hire an associate director role that would come in and be the liaison for the private schools in the association. Well, they did that. They hired Buster Daniels, who's been he was several years in the public school arena, but most recently had been the head coach at Lee Scott Academy in Auburn, who absolutely got put in a bad situation. You know, they were put in the Huntsville Birmingham region in the double A private classification. He's now, I think, entering week three on the job at the state office. So hopefully that's given some promise to some of the headmasters and leaders of the private schools. At least somebody now is inside the walls of the HSAA that feels their pain as far as the private schools are experiencing at this point.
Well, is it how much is this going to escalate? Because, I mean, there's a lot of people kind of speculating, hey, that it's all just – you're going to see a lot of these private schools just walk away from the HSAA. I mean, do you feel like that's in the realm of possibilities?
Well, I think there are having some conversations. In fact, there's some meetings taking place later this week with some consideration of potentially launching a third option. I don't want to say association because I don't know what the parameters. I have not been involved in any of those conversations. That's outside the HSAA. Or the AISA would be a third standalone option. But my opinion, if I was asked, I would say be very cautious with doing that, because you got to make sure that if you're ever going to start something new, that a minimum you're offering the same opportunities for our student athletes that you currently have today. I don't see a school leaving one association for less extracurricular activities for their student athletes in another organization. And then, of course, what does your leadership structure look like? What do your bylaws look like? But I know that's a conversation that's taking place later this week.
Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of states like this where the private schools go at it on their own. Then they just start recruiting. It becomes like a pseudo collegiate environment. And that seems just awful to me. But the powers that be don't get this thing together. That's what you could wind up with at Alabama at some point.
You're right. Let me put it to you this way, Joe. This is my personal opinion, but I think I've got some pretty good data and statistics and just me seeing it firsthand. Your private schools recruiting in this state aren't your problem. It's the public schools. There is a system in place. They know how to do it. They know how to get the bona fide move to make it work and to get them there. You got a handful of private schools that have been doing it for years, but you got to think. There's already been parameters put in place by the AHSAA for multiple years relating to private schools. One, the competitive balance. You know, you're already getting a 1.3 multiplier per student. So a lot of private schools in the AHSAA were already playing up because of the multiplier. You know, then they still had, you know, the same. So they already had that. And then they also were getting competitive balance. If you won championships, you also had to move up. So you got some private schools in certain sports playing 2, 3, 4 classifications up. Now, there's no public schools that have those same things. And let's just look, since we've had these conversations and the settlements taking place between the association, the legislative body, and the governor's office, you've had two private schools in the Birmingham area get slapped for recruiting violations. Excuse me. One in Birmingham, one in Mobile, two coaches suspended for the season, two programs postseason eligibility gone because of recruiting. I've heard nothing from private schools. So until we really have a true conversation of everybody's doing it, we're never going to get to a true positive place where it's level playing field.
Well, then what's the solution there? I mean, it goes on. We know it goes on. Everybody who's really, really involved in high school athletics that I know is almost shameless in some places. And yet, like, we're myopically focused on this over here, which you say is not the problem. Then what do you do about the real problem?
Well, I think the real problem is, I mean, at the end of the day, people have figured it out, right? And they don't understand the rules. I mean, if you move and you make a bona fide move, you are eligible to play. And we have a lot of parents that now want to put their kids in the best program for whatever sport that may be, right, across this state. So you do have parents that are moving. You may have some schools that 8, 9, 10 people that have moved from out of state to their school district. Well, you could say they're recruiting, but in the day, they're legal, right? They're eligible. They're moving from Colorado, California, Texas, Tennessee, and they're coming to your school district. They're making a bona fide move. They're eligible.
What, I mean, does this go on? I mean, I've always heard this, and I don't want to put you on the spot here, but like in Phoenix City and just getting students just to come across the river there from Columbus or wherever in Georgia, like maybe it's in some places where, you know, that's something that a lot of, you know, especially 7A schools don't have the ability to do. Does that go on? I mean, I've always heard that.
It's happened in the past, but I tell people, if you're moving from Georgia or Columbus, let's be specific, and you're moving to Phoenix City, you might as well be moving from California to Phoenix City. You're out of state. You have to make a bona fide move from one state to the other to be eligible. So if you're moving from Columbus to Phoenix City, it's no different than moving from San Diego to Phoenix City.
Right.
You're coming from out of state and you're establishing residency. Now, what's becoming the problem now of these border states is not as much, Jeff, that example, as now with NIL being legal at the high school level in Georgia. Where do you think a lot of kids are trying to get to from Alabama now on bordering counties is trying to get an NIL deal to go play in Georgia?
Well, then,
so it's kind of flipped the coin a little bit.
But that is that something, I mean, do you, can you keep that from happening in Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, it can't happen until we pass legislation. I may be one day standing on that island by myself, but I will be absolutely always a no on amateur athletes at the high school level receiving compensation. I'm supportive of it with guardrails and parameters at the collegiate level, but absolutely no way will I ever be on board with a high school kid being paid money to play sports. What's the difference if I have somebody that's really good in the drama program or really good in the band program? I mean, we start talking about compensation across the board. It's a box I don't want to open at the high school level, and that's just my personal opinion.
Well, I mean, what if you get sued and the courts find that, you know, that they have a name, image, and likeness just like collegiate athletes? I mean, is it not saying that that's coming, but like it seems like there's a precedent there that could apply to Alabama someday.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate. I mean, I think great segue straight into NIL. What an absolute mess. You know, last time you and I talked several months back during the session, it's still just as big of a mess as it was then, right? I think Coach Tuberville, I think he's on the right track. I like his approach with what he's proposing now of you get one free transfer, and after that you've got to sit out. I also think there needs to be guardrails around how you manage the money, how you pay an athlete. I think there should be requirements of commitments from the athlete to the university. It shouldn't be all commitments and all guarantees being one way. So I think, to your point, things have gotten so out of hand, right, with NIL and everything else. It's got to be addressed across the board at the federal level, because I think anytime we get down to the national, I mean, the state level, Jeff, we're seeing you're basically playing whack-a-mole, right? Every state's just trying to do whatever they can to give their universities a competitive advantage. And the way it stands right now, universities in Alabama could never compete with oil money from Texas, right, per se, let's use a great example, taking nothing away from Indiana, Mark Cuban stroking money. If Indiana can all of a sudden get money and get athletes and win a national championship, I mean, we're talking Indiana. We're talking basketball university, Indiana, right? Bobby Knight, Indiana sports, not Indiana football as your defending national champion. So just let that soak in for a moment.
Joined by State Representative Chris Blackshear here on the program. We'll get you out of here on this, the never-ending gambling saga. You said something interesting on Todd's show on Friday that you're not really talking about it right now, but I'm sure you're as plugged in as I am. I mean, I keep hearing this is something Governor Tuberville immediately would take a look at. I mean, do you get any signals that that's something that's in the works?
I mean, I've had no conversation with Coach and his staff, but I think, you know, one of my comments to Todd was, I think this next quadrennium, a conversation will absolutely happen. I do. I mean, let's be honest. Conversations have been happening since 1999, the last time the lottery was put on the ballot and right, failed across the state. So we're approaching the 30th year anniversary of having conversations. But I think from my perspective, if and when those conversations start with Coach and his administration, I hope the Senate is engaged and they're front and center, because I believe the Senate is going to have to carry the weight first on this one, since the House has done it multiple other times. I don't think we get off the ground until, one, Coach tells people what he wants, if anything that is he wants to do around the conversation, and two, leadership in the Senate is on board to get it through their body, then it comes to us. So we'll see how that unfolds here as we get into legislative session once we get into the 2027 calendar year.
Well, and the other part of this, I mean, the elections have created a little bit of a change of the landscape. Greg Allbritton not coming back. Typically, he's been involved, if not leading the charge here. I don't know who that becomes in the Alabama State Senate, but it's kind of like, you know, you start talking about the names in the chamber. Your name's up there. I mean, if you're not having a conversation with Chris Blackshear about gambling, then is there really anything going on?
Well, I don't know about all that. Well, that way, if that's the case, Jeff, that example, there's nothing going on then if that's the case, because I'm not involved in any conversations.
Yeah, I just do you become kind of the tip of the spear, if you will, in these conversations, you think, now that the landscape has changed?
Yeah, but I think, though, you look at it, there's been a lot of people that's been in the middle of the conversation over the last 30 years. And I think the thing is when coach gets in, he's sworn in, his administration gets to work, and if they make a decision, this is the topic they want to take up. I don't think there's a option that has not been drafted over the last 20 plus years. All the pieces of the puzzle are there, right? I think you just have to lay them all on the table and figure out what, if anything, can we put together to give the citizens of Alabama the opportunity to vote on. Again, it's not going to go away, right, Jeff? You said it at the top when you teased this conversation. You know, every time we talk, we're talking about it, right?
Yeah.
And at some point, it's got to make it to the ballot, in my opinion, to allow ultimately once and for all the citizens to have another right to vote.
Well, just on that, I mean, and you talk about, you know, what do you do about the illegal gambling? I mean, why wouldn't you just pass a law and take it from a misdemeanor to a felony crime?
I mean, you can, but at the end of the day, what's legal, what's illegal? You know, no, at this point, I agree 100%. We absolutely need to have the penalties increase, which we had that the legislation we passed in the House 2 years ago and sent to the Senate. But it's outside of that, no matter what the penalties are, right, you still have the old legality argument. Is it legal or is it not legal?
Right.
From that, no matter what the penalties are. So I think that's why, again, a holistic approach across the board is the only thing, in my opinion, that we're going to have, we can come up with to address the situation.
Representative, you're always very generous with your time. Best of luck. Safe travels, and thanks for hopping on this morning.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, Jeff.
All right. State Representative Chris Blackshear there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.